little, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't really even know kind of where to begin. You know, I'm like you. I don't know where to begin exactly outside of saying, yeah, it was the fault of the coaches. And I said this, I tweeted this out. Look, we don't pay the players. Nobody's paying the players, right? They're dudes and they're giving it their all, this, that, and the other. But the guys that are getting paid to make a good football team, you know, the dudes that we give $800,000 of University of Texas money, write them a check, hand it to them on the 1st and 15th of the month, I'm assuming, maybe it's the 22nd, I don't know. Those are the dudes that we should, you know, reserve our vitriol for, you know, man? It's say, like, hey, Dan, we just got a turnover at the 15-yard line. Why is your offensive coordinator calling three runs up the middle? Like, we don't trust our quarterback to throw a pass to the end zone to, you know, that's not even like, hey, we didn't have Carlos Harris, or hey, we didn't have Antoine Jimson for the first quarter. You don't need them. You know, there's other dudes that can catch a 15-yard pass. I was like, we are playing not to lose from the go, from literally from the word go. From the first hand clap, uh-huh. Let's do a snap. We were playing, let's get out of this with this one close. And not to win. We didn't go in there trying to win. Because if you're trying to win, you're trying to put the ball in the end zone on that first drive. You know, it's not like we were back from the 20. I think against Texas last season, we had Josh Greer, you know, back at the 20. We still went back and tried to get him to throw. From the SMU, was that 17-yard line, something like that? Inside of 20. It was in the red zone. I think they call it the Platinum Series Red Zone, sponsored by Koch Brothers.
That started at the 15.
Yeah, it's 15, something like that. But you see what I'm saying? It's like, what better place? And that just like, you know what? We're here. Let's just get out of here with points. And you know what? That's not winning football. I tweeted last night that Andrew McNulty's line, his stat line, was not winning football. And, you know, it ain't. It wasn't. It wasn't winning football. But you know what else is not winning football? Calling those plays. Playing not to lose. That's not winning football either.
Right. And who do you falls more on? You know, is it Coach Mack or is it Coach Canales? I mean, is it Coach McCartney saying this is what I want to do, this is what the scheme is, or, you know, who gets the biggest blame out of all this?
Well, I mean, when you're the head coach, right, you know, like, if we win that game, it doesn't go on Mike Canales' win-loss record, right? It goes on Dan McCartney's. Mm-hmm. So it's ultimately Dan McCartney's. And it's if Mike Canales is going off the reservation and he's doing his own thing, that's Dan McCartney, hey, control your employee here, you know what I mean? You know, these kids are one thing, but this guy that is your direct report, that guy, he's not calling good plays? I mean, that's on you then, you know?
Yeah, you know. And we talked about it yesterday, specifically with Texas. You know, they made that change right after week one. You know, Sean Watson wasn't getting it done as a play caller. Well, we need to move on now because I feel we have the players. So, do you think Dan McCartney would even think about doing that, or he's just gonna? I think if you're a North Texas fan, the worst thing that you could see is next Saturday versus Rice that McNulty trots out there with the first unit, and we run the same shit.
Literally the shit, because that wasn't good. It wasn't even just plays; it was shit plays. And I feel bad for all the players because I think Andrew McNulty in the right situation could be a little bit more effective. Although I don't know how much more effective. I mean, 47%, 128 yards, 2 interceptions. That is, I mean, that's not winning football, man.
I'm sorry. I don't want to bash on him, but there was just that one play. He rolled out to the right, and he had Carlos Harris going down the sideline. And it looked like he put all his effort into that throw, and it ended up like 15 yards out of bounds. And like 15 yards short, and I was like, "Wow."
Yeah,
I wish he would stay a little bit more last night too. It seemed like he got a little bit of happy feet. He bailed out when he didn't have to bail out, and he put himself in situations where it was a tougher throw. And maybe it was because he couldn't see the entire field because the rush, what they were doing. But it just seemed like he got a little nervous back there. And we were meant to believe that he knew the offense and he could get us out of bad plays and get us into the right plays. And he could make the Derek Thompson improvements. And we didn't see any of that last night.
I mean, yeah, again, like I said, I don't want to bash the dude, but I don't know. The thing is, like, there's one, I mean, we're all, like, you know, we care about each other because we're alums, and, you know, we recognize how hard they fight, this, that, and the other. I mean, but really, ultimately, it is entertainment, and that wasn't entertainment out there. You know what I mean? We don't pay money to get tickets to see these guys, you know, go to class or anything like that. I mean, really, it's about football. It's about entertaining football. And, you know, like, if we really believed all this other stuff, you know, like, well, you know, we're alums and this, that, and the other, then we wouldn't be assholes to each other. You know, we all know what's what. So, I mean, the dude was not that great. He wasn't fun to watch. I mean, Andrew McNulty might be the coolest dude to hang out with. The coolest guy. But he's not the coolest guy to watch play football out anywhere. And, I mean, that was bad. And I kind of – some of these – I got a couple of voicemails. I picked two of them because they kind of sum up everything the best. A lot of them are kind of the same thing. And I'll play those in a second. It was kind of like the drive time. You're driving home. You got some – one event. There's a lot of people venting on the message board. So I figured we're going to do this podcast. Might as well do it. Play what people think. So give me
–
Yeah,
you could call it the word on the street segment.
Yeah, let me pull it up right now. I got two of these, and I'll do it. I'm kind of doing two things at once.
Yeah, one thing before you pull it. Yeah, one thing before you pull it up. My wife, when we were making the drive to score the touchdown to take the lead, we had that fourth down play, and the student section and the people in the end zone. Everybody was just cheering and hollering so loud that they forced our old team to call a timeout. They couldn't get the play call in. Listen, if we have the ball, that's when you're quiet.
Yeah,
that like, wait, is the rule.
It's the fourth down. Let's get loud. I was like, what are you doing?
Exactly. Come on. I love the fact that you're there. But come on. We got to be a little bit smarter of a football fan base.
No,
if we're going to raise our...
It's not even just the fan base either, because the cheerleaders were raising up to get loud stuff. They had the things up to say get loud. That's that whole. I mean, if you're a cheerleader, isn't that your job to just kind of know when to cheer? That's like your whole thing. That and getting to stand in the pyramid, I guess. Both those things. I agree. I totally agree with you. The other thing,
my wife turned around to everybody that was hollering, and she just lit into them. She was like, you people need to sit down. You just forced them to call a timeout. What the hell are you doing? That was pretty awesome.
Okay, so, my wife was saying the same thing. She was like, how come we don't throw it, like, to the guys down there? You know, like, down the field, there was, like, receivers running 15 yards down the field. And, you know, she's looking at them. And my wife's not the biggest football aficionado, right? And she just looks at it, and she kind of assesses it for what it is. And I like that simplicity, you know? She didn't have 10 years of watching football and obsessing unhealthily over, you know, over the game. She looks at it, she's like, how come we don't throw it to that guy down the field? And I was like, well, he can't really get it to him. She's like, well, isn't that the whole point of having a quarterback? Like, why are you playing quarterback if you can't get it to the guy down the field? And I was like, well, I don't know how to answer that.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, all right. So let me play these, and I'm going to see if I can get this where everybody can hear it. I'm going to try to play this out loud. So I'm not in my usual setup here, ladies and gentlemen. So things are kind of weird. All right, I'm playing it right now. We'll see what happens.
Play DeMarcus Smith. We're tired of seeing McNulty throw it for 5 yards. My grandma can throw it for farther than that. We want to see DeMarcus Smith. We want to see the best quarterback. I don't care if the guy can only know two plays. You let him learn those two plays. Put him in, and let's see it.
All right, and that was a little bit more McNulty bashing, but it was more let's see DeMarcus Smith. And the problem with this is that this is basically where we were after Texas. When I was walking out and I was thinking, and I pulled up the write-up that I had after the Texas game where we were disappointed. And I think the headline was something like, where is the pass game? You know? And I looked at like the first paragraph that I wrote and I was like, wow, I just need to swap out some Texas-specific things. Like, the fans came down to Austin to, you know, here at the DKR field expecting to, you know, do some things. And you just swap out DKR for Gerald Ford, Austin for Dallas, and you basically have today's game. Yeah, it was the same thing. What was the past game? We looked inept. You want to hear another dirty little secret, guys? So last season against SMU, guess how many yards passing we had? 108. So things have improved. Yeah, we improved. 20 yards. Goodness. Yeah. So,
right. Hold on a second. Hold on. How many passes did we throw in that game, though?
It wasn't 34. We averaged six yards a pass attempt in that one. Only 3.6 in this one. So, yeah. That's not an indicator of how poorly we're doing in this thing. I don't know what it is.
I texted you after the game. Oh, no, we suck again.
Yeah, it's basically that. All right, so let's review my review, I guess, or my preview. I said that we had a chance, that the X factor will be the quarterbacks, and McNulty, obviously poor. Todd said, listening while mowing the yard. Cool, thanks for listening, dude. So, yeah, dude said, I said, Matt Davis will be an X factor, right, on the SMU side. As he goes, I'll go. You know, if we can't contain him, you know, if we make him make tough throws, then we win. If we let him run around, then we lose. We did a great job containing him. He had some nice plays here and there. But basically in the third quarter after turning the ball over yet again, we let him on a 3rd-and-4 run for 50 yards into the end zone and basically put the game away. He didn't have the greatest game throwing a ball, but, I mean, he ran for 125 yards, 50 of which came on that last one. 21 points they had in the fourth quarter. That's where we lost the game completely, but we sure didn't win the game or get close to winning the game at any other point.
Right. I think that the fourth quarter was just a factor of the defense. They saw what the offense was, you know, and they – eventually, they're going to break. You know, you just get put in that scenario, that situation so many times. We've seen it so many times before where eventually you're going to give up a big play. You're going to give up, you know, the running game's going to take over. You're going to get worn down. And so that's what happened. I mean, their time of possession was 33 minutes to our 24 minutes.
Yeah.
And
last year that was flipped, in case you're wondering. We had it for like 36 minutes last season.
Yeah, and they, like we said earlier, they had 305 yards rushing. You know, Braden West, Xavier Jones, you know, they made our guys miss. We missed a couple tackles that I think we'll make in the coming weeks. You know, I think that's just getting repetitions. The one thing with the defense, I didn't think we did I thought we did okay in the middle. Mm-hmm. I don't think we did okay setting the edge. I think we were terrible at setting the edge. I think our defensive ends, there were so many times where your first job as a defensive end is to contain, is to not let anybody get outside you, force everything back towards your help. And they couldn't do that. They couldn't do that on the sweeps, the jet motions, the quarterback runs to the outside. And then there was a couple times where I wanted us to not stunt on the defensive line because the defensive tackle, when he was looping around, he was going way too wide and too high, and he was allowing Matt Davis to step up in the pocket. I think a guy like Matt Davis, you just simply want to bull rush him, you know, take away those viewing lanes and everything. And we tried to get too cute with that. And we allowed him to beat us to the outside and get around the edges and, you know, what we saw, you know, against SMU, that we're going to see a lot of the same things that, you know, Rice does that. Their quarterback is a big-time runner. They're going to run him more than Matt Davis. It'll be more design runs, but they ran for, you know, they ran all over Texas last night. I don't know how many yards rushing they have, but still. So we're going to see a lot of those things next week.
Yeah. I mean,
I think our defense is going to improve.
Yeah, I think you give them a grade, you know, grades are arbitrary, you know, it's stupid. Just a way to kind of, to have some number to talk about, some kind of consensus. I give them like a B minus. I mean, they did kind of blow it in the fourth quarter. A plus would have been when they were out there scoring some points. They got damn near close to that. I mean, special teams was awesome. They get like a high B, basically. They got some turnovers there. We got a lot of turnovers. We had a lot of chances, but we also turned the ball over, too. What was that? Was that Tucker, or is it Tucker that fumbled, right? A couple times.
Yeah, he did.
T-Goree fumbled out of bounds. I mean, it was sloppy in the way that you expect a first game to be sloppy. But my biggest complaint is about the play calling. I mean, you set the tone to start the game by being ultra-conservative. You know, after such a big play, that's exactly how you want it. You're like, this team that's going to try to score against us, we need every break we can get. And we were right there, 15-yard line, dude. You take it. You take a chance.
You go play action, and you throw it to whoever your best guy is. Marcus Smith, you know, Rutherford, somebody that can go up and get the ball.
Yeah, I think somebody was saying that Marcus Smith wasn't out in the first play. I didn't see it. I didn't see the ESPN.
No, he wasn't.
Okay, that's fine. If he's not out there in the first play, turns out we have other dudes on his team, you know? Who else could do? I mean, I'm surely some other dude can win a one-on-one matchup, or you think he can. Hey, put it up there in the end zone. Put it in the back of the end zone. Somebody out there. And if you don't think Andrew McNulty can put it in the back of the end zone, get another dude out there that can put it in the back of the end zone and then have McNulty decision his way the rest of the time. But, I mean, you got to do whatever you got to do. You got to play whatever cards you have, deal whatever. You play with the hands that you're dealt. And if you're dealt, you know, that's a great hand to play. 15-yard lines, you should be able to score. Any offense in the nation should be able to score from the 15-yard line. And it looks like we didn't even try. We're like, hand off. All right, let's get the ball on the foot of our kicker because we know he will put it, you know, 3 points on the board. That's no way to win this game.
Right.
And the defense, the other point of the defense, you made great points. They played well. They were iffy sometimes. They got, you know, shook out their shoes. And that's fine. Matt Davis is shifty. They got tired later on, so you can kind of give them not really a pass, but you understand why they were unable to tackle well.
Right.
But they made enough plays to win this game. They made enough plays. Yeah. You can't win this game with only 13 points.
Right. Yeah, you know, I said that after the first, you know, that first series, the field goal. We're not going to win this game kicking field goals. We got to win touchdowns. Some of the guys, you know, if I had to give out a game ball or two game balls for this game, I'd go with Eric Kina, the punter, because I think he did a really damn good job setting us up to get points. And I'd go with Blake Bean, the linebacker. He made a lot of plays. He made a lot of tackles. He was what we were hoping he would be at middle linebacker. And I think a lot of the other newcomers, you know, James Gray, I thought he played well last night. I thought Cedric Fernandez, the nickel corner. I thought he stepped in and played well. I even thought, you know, Zach Whitfield, he got burned on the double move by Sutton. You know, they set him up. But, I mean, think about it. You know, he gave up football. He sat out for a long period of time, and then he's forced to come in there and start right away. I thought one of the early plays where they tried to go deep to Sutton, and he located the ball right away. He found it, and he got it in front of Sutton, and he knocked it down. That was a beautiful play.
Yeah.
So I think he'll start to recover. And I think Chad Davis played all right, too.
Yeah, he did. He made some good tackles. I think we made a great play, and they called pass interference on it. And I thought that was a BS call. But I couldn't really see it. I was on the sideline. It was, like, on the far sideline, so I wasn't able to see it. But I think that was Whitfield also. Here's the other thing about Zach Whitfield. He made the transition from running back, and we kind of gave him a lot of passes. He's always gotten beat on double moves, though. That's kind of like the book on him.
Right.
You give him a double move, and then you can beat him. But Cortland Sutton, he beat Baylor last week on a couple, you know, deep balls, just straight ahead speed. Yeah. So, dude's good.
We talked about it a lot was, can we defend against the D pass? And other than that one there, I thought we did okay. We got called for the pass interference one, which from my vantage point in the end zone, there was a lot of hand, okay, you know, hand fighting going on. So I could see where they called it. But yeah, I thought we did a pretty good job at not getting beat over the top.
Yeah. Hey, we had a goal line stand, you know?
Yeah.
I think any game you get a goal line stand, you got to give them, you got to give them like at least a letter grade bump. I mean, they really,
I'd give them credit for two goal line stands, because the forced fumble where they knocked it out of Davis's hands and mm-hmm. we recovered it down there. So I'm going to give them two goal line stands.
Yeah. I forgot about that one. We played a hell of a game defensively, and that's why it reminded me so much of that Texas game last season, because they kind of kept us in it. We had a couple turnovers in that one, and we were just like, man, if we just had somebody, we need the cavalry come in, you know, and score some points right here. Now, that's how you beat a team. That's how Jackson State almost upset Auburn, you know. They scored 20 points. They scored 20 points. We scored 13. Dan McCarney said after last season's game against Texas that 7 points is unacceptable. It's not going to cut it. It's disappointing. So I got to think that 13 points
is semi-acceptable because we doubled our score from last year, right?
Yeah, we improved by 20 yards passing. One thing I didn't like about Vito's five things that I saw or whatever, was this line. Even when one takes all that into account, UNT, which is not very effective. UNT had 240 yards all night after putting up 43 points against SMU last season. Like, one does not equal the other. Because, you know, we had 43 last year, only 13 this year. That is a better context, buddy. And then we only had 240 yards after 353 last season. And also in that game, last one, 6 of 16 on third downs. This season, 6 of 16 on third downs. We were about as terrible on offense. We just ran the ball better, and we scored on defense against SMU because they were just not even trying. Outside of that, we're not different, which is good because we were kind of concerned about how we'd play against SMU, or are they better? They look real good against Baylor. But it's bad because we basically had the same kind of game outside of a defense that would just, you know, scoring touchdowns, and we lost. This was definitely an opportunity game, and we squandered it. I think.
Yeah.
Before you make another point, let me play this one more, one that sums it up. I think. Here you go.
Hey, this is Golfin Gomez, and I have no organized thought coming into this call, so I guess I could also conduct UNT's offense. I have no idea what we are doing from a quarterback position down to a running back position down to a wide receiver position, and I think it all goes back to the head coach. This is getting ridiculous. We live in the state of Texas, and we can't construct an offense that can consistently perform. We're in the game in the fourth quarter, and we lose by double digits. We're winning in the fourth quarter, and we lose by double digits. I don't know what to do, and I'm really not looking forward to the home game against Rice next week. Go, Maine Green.
I like that. I mean, what do you think? What do you think about his thoughts on the game, dude?
I couldn't really hear it over here, so
no.
I'm going to let you say it, what you feel his thoughts were.
Okay, so he basically said, we were leading in the fourth quarter and we lose by double digits. This can't happen. Our offense looked inept, which is basically what we've been saying. I mean, there's not much else to say about that. We're kind of in a point where we're like, okay, first you look at the player, right? Offense is bad. You're like, well, okay, is it this player? Can we swap out this player? But we played this game all last season, right? We talked about it all last season. And so now everybody's like looking at the coaches and things. And I mean, I think it's a valid question. It's like, wow, this is basically the start of year two of the same problem. And you guys didn't really address it. So what do we do here? What is the problem, Dan? You know? You know, like, yeah. How are you going to fix it, Dan? Lastly, I could totally understand how you get caught off guard. And you're like, you know what? We had three dudes that we thought we could play. And, you know, one wasn't ready because he had off-season issues. And, you know, he's really talented, so we had to let him go. Okay, understandable. This other guy we brought in, He should be really good. He was disappointed, not ready for the game. Understand that. Those things happen. Here's a guy that's been in the program for like 50 years. He should be really good. He's not good. That's a question mark. So I'm like, if this guy can't perform at the level we need him to, what is he doing in your program?
Yeah, but what? Where do we go from here? I mean, what do you do? Basically, from a fan standpoint, like I tweeted out, we don't want to see Josh Greer or Andrew McNulty take the field against Rice. Nothing against them as kids, or they're, you know, human being or whatever. But as a player and as a fan who needs hope, nobody wants to see that. We know what they can do. The fans would rather lose or win with either Connor Means or DeMarcus Smith. Yeah. Look, if we're going to lose, let's throw out Connor Means out there, and hopefully we're preparing him for next year if it's not going to get any better. Or is DeMarcus Smith not ready, but he has a talent? Well, we're willing to grow with those guys, but McNulty's not going to get any better. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, senior year, and you put up 128 yards against a team that could have easily been sliced up by a decent quarterback. I think a lot of people were tweeting me that. If we had a decent quarterback play, and I don't want to say decent quarterback play, because McNulty is capable of putting up decent quarterback play, and he didn't. You know, and you can't even put it on, like, receivers. Receivers are open. You can't put it on, like, drops or anything. You know, there was one fumble, but that was after a catch. A lot of those balls were not even close to anything. I think Carlos Harris was complaining about pass interference, but you mentioned that 15 yards wide and 15 yards short. I mean, guy can't make a play on that, you know?
Yeah, but the wide receivers, they didn't play too well either last night. They dropped a few passes where it hit them in the hands. I know McNulty's not the most accurate, but if you're a wide receiver and it touches your hand with the stick-em shit on those gloves that they have these days, you better catch the ball.
Yeah, it's not.
You got to help them out.
Yeah. And, I mean, the other part is helping them out. That's play calling, too. I mean, I understand that we want to stay on schedule and we want to make it short and third and four, but let's not play for third and four all the time. I mean, because we're never going to get into third and four because they know what's coming on first and 10 every time. We're going to hand it off. We're going to fake like we're going to keep, you know? And I think somebody was yelling out, well, why don't you at least keep it then? Because everybody knows that you're going to give it to Tucker. Everybody knows you're going to give it to Jimerson.
Exactly. That if this offense is going to work, McNulty has to keep it every once in a while. We know he's capable of running the football. We know he's got some wheels. But to keep the defense honest, he's got to keep it every now and then. He didn't do that.
Yeah. But see, all that said, he had some nice plays, especially like in that third and fourth quarter. I think he extended a drive on like third and 12, third and 15 or something ridiculous. He stepped up in the pocket. He threw a strike. I was like, wow, look at McNulty out here firing strikes in there.
Yeah, and, there was a couple passes, though, where he threw one across the middle into, like, triple coverage, and it was complete. And I was like, I have no idea how the hell he saw that wide receiver being open because he really wasn't. He just hoped that he would be there, and he put it there. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if you want to chalk this up, I think Seth Ellis is tweeting. He even tweeted at Mean Green Nation. He said, no, the loss is not on anyone. We win as a team. Lose as a team. I mean, that's great. That's great. You want to present a unified front, and we all know how this game is played. I don't want anybody on the team pointing fingers. That's not how that works. We get to point fingers because we're on the sidelines. You know, we get to talk mess because we're on the sidelines. Yeah. And, you know, I said this all the time. You know, like, we're here for the entertainment. You know, we're following these people. It's not because it's, like, some great edification, not because it's good for our health. I mean, it makes us stressed and angry, you know? Fandom is ridiculous. Yeah.
Adversity has struck us early this year, yet again. And how are they going to respond? Because the whole entire world is going to be telling them this week, you suck.
Yeah.
That's basically the fans, the students, they're all going to be telling them that you suck. So how do they come out at 1:30 next Saturday against Rice? Because there might not be a lot of fans there. The 26 buses of students, how do you think they felt going back to campus after that game? there were students sitting around us that were like, man, we should have drove to this game. We shouldn't have taken the bus because now we got to sit here.
Yeah, I mean, that.
I mean, that's yeah. The students are like the one, they're like the only people that really show up to the games. There's a few thousand alumni that show up, maybe.
Every time, yeah.
But really, yeah, but it's the students that make Apogee, you know, special.
Yeah.
It's the students that make it special. And they didn't get to see what they were hoping to see last night. So, I mean, so adversity struck, like I said. How are they going to respond against a good Rice team?
A really good Rice team. They put up 28 against Texas, which is more talented defensively and probably better coached defensively than SMU.
Well, I mean, they're really young, though. They played like 17 freshmen or something.
Talking
about
Texas? Yeah.
Yeah, they played like a ton of freshmen. So our defense, I think we're a better run-stopping defense than Texas is. I'm just going to give you that right now.
We looked really, really good stopping the run at times. Late in the game, we were kind of arm tackling a little bit. Again, you know, here's what I didn't want to happen. I mean, because we had a pretty good defense to start the season last season, and then they faded for whatever reason. I really don't want that to happen again. I want us to play as good defensively as we did against SMU the rest of the way. That'll put us in games. Obviously, I'm not even mentioning the offense. But yeah, we need some wins. You know, like here's the thing: if you're a player on the team and you're like, man, everybody's talking mess, right? They were talking mess, and then but when we're playing well, you love us, right? So go mean green, go mean right. Yeah, I mean that's the way it works. You know what I mean? Like when you win, you get lots of praise. Probably more than it's due, and that's why everybody plays the game. Nobody plays the game because, you know, you just really do like hitting people. It's that plus you get the adulation because everybody's like, oh, dude, you're on a football team? It's all of it. You get all the glory, you know? This has been talked about. People have been playing for 100 years. You go out there because of the glory of it. And when you lose, it's part of the game, though. You lose. People are not excited about the game. As long as fans and you as fans, if you're not talking mess about the player, you know, like personal attacks, and you're just talking about the game, that's fine. You can criticize the game. That was not an entertaining game to watch towards the end.
No.
That's not a personal attack on anybody. You still love all the people. Still root for them. We're going to be there next week, et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, hey, Saturdays, lots of things to do on Saturdays. And if the choice is sometimes between an unentertaining game at Apogee and something fun to do with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, it's going to be hard to choose every time, you know, going to Apogee and sitting there and watching a blowout or something. So
what needs to happen against Rice is we need a big play early. You know, our biggest play last night, I think, was the 25-yard touchdown run from Jimerson. And then we maybe had Tucker had one 18-yard run and Smiley had like a 19-yard catch or something like that. But they need something big to happen early, positive. Long kickoff return, punt return for a touchdown, interception return for a touchdown, something. Big pass play. Doesn't matter. Need something big, good to happen early in that game.
Yeah, I mean, we need some more. Like, Antoine Jimerson is one of – he's been a big play threat. He's had at least a 20-yard touchdown run each of his four seasons now. That guy can make plays. If we can get the ball to Carlos Harris or Marcus Smith or somebody, you know, like in a better position, then instead of going to the sideline, hey, who knows what we can get from there? I'd like to see some of that. I don't know. Kids, he has basically one opportunity, and you don't really want to give him any more on kickoffs because that means the other team is scoring. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you need something going. I like that they handed the ball off to Carlos Harris at least once or twice. He got 19 yards on one. Is that what you said, right?
No, that was a catch. He had a 12-yard run.
12-yard run.
The 19-yard was a pass play to Turner Smiley.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you look at the rushing attempts. Tucker had 50 yards. Jimerson had 40 yards on 9 carries. Longest 25. Tucker's longest was 18. And then after that, it's Carlos Harris, Turner Smiley, the next ones. Rollins had 8 yards rushing. We had 112 yards rushing. Not the greatest, but again, a lot of that is because they're sitting on it. They are waiting. They are waiting to hand the ball off because first down, we're running. Second down, we're running. Third down, we're trying to pass it. They know everything that's gonna happen. We don't even try to play action or anything. We don't. We have the most simple, basic offense ever in the history of ever. We might as well just, you know, kneel on it and punt the ball. Get an early start and playing some defense or something. I don't know. That's how it feels. I mean, obviously we don't want that to happen. We want some good plays down the field. We know we have playmakers. I don't know. Mike Canales, you had a whole year and a half to work on some things. What did you think of the up-tempo stuff? It was okay at times for me. But to hurry up and dive in the middle of the line, I don't know what that does.
Exactly. I thought we ran too much horizontally yesterday. I don't think our guys have enough speed, and maybe Jeffrey Wilson does have enough speed, but I thought we ran too much east and west, and, you know, even if we're going to spread it out, I'd like to see some more power runs, more pulling guard, you know, running up the middle, you know, out of the shotgun, not just a straight dive play like we were running.
Yeah.
The play calling, it wasn't there last night. The up-tempo stuff, we ran 67 plays, but we just didn't get enough first downs, you know. In the third and fourth quarter, SMU had the ball for – they had it for 18 minutes, and we had it for like 9 minutes. I mean, they doubled us up in time of possession in that, you know, third and fourth quarter, and they wore us down. I was hoping that our up-tempo – and we're pounding it that, you know, hey, we're going to wear them down. And I bet you that's what the game plan was. We're going to pound it until we break a big one. And, you know, Jimerson broke the big one, and it gave us the lead. And then, you know, maybe you had that thought in the back of your mind, well, okay, you know, next series, you know, we're going to get going with our running game. But before we could get the ball back, SMU had already retaken the lead.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, we're trying to do this jab, 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 right cross, but we don't have a right cross, you know? Like, the right cross is the big play, and it can't always come from the run. Some of that has to be, you have to keep them honest. You got to throw over the top on them. And, I mean, look, if we're going to complete 47% of our passes, we might as well be chucking them 30 yards down the field to our fastest dude, you know? We might as well go 1975 style, do some play action, look down the field, and chuck it. You know, chuck it. Let's see what we can get. Let's run, throw the ball as far as you can. Because, I mean, throwing a, you know, I think, what was that one? We tried the most obvious swing pass to Antoine Jimerson on like 3rd and 4, and we lost like 3 yards on the play. That was awful. I think my wife looked at me and said, what are they doing? Like, why would they throw it behind? Don't they have to get over there? And again, yeah, I was like, yeah, that's it. They have to get over there, and they threw it over here. What was that about? I mean, that kind of sums it up. Yeah, so again, if you guys have any hot sports opinions, we'll try to do this when we can afterwards. We should be able to, at least for 30 minutes. We're already at 42, so we're probably going to wrap this up in a few. So yeah, you got some thoughts, call into the voicemail, and we'll, you know, vent it out. Feel a little bit more calm right now than I did last night after the game. I was like, man, that was awful. I was like, what was that mess? And BYU out here has just the fourth down game winning specialist. We just need that guy, you know? Chuck it up down the field. Carlos Harris, catch the ball. We could score some points. I bet you would score more than 13 that way, though.
Maybe.
Yeah, very early prediction for the Rice game. What do you think?
28-7 Rice.
It feels like that, doesn't it? Well, we'll get to see whether or not having seen our guys in the first game has the jump in the next one. I felt like SMU didn't even bring anybody out there. They didn't even have no fans. It was like full of North Texas people. SMU didn't really look that great coming into the game after that moral victory they had. Another team that didn't look great in Conference USA, everybody else. Everybody in Conference USA looked awful. That was a bad week. A-minus week last week, D-minus this week.
It was a pretty bad week, but there was a lot of upsets. You know, Toledo beat Arkansas yesterday. It was kind of interesting.
I saw that.
That was funny. Like to watch Arkansas.
Yeah, and was it like UTEP got demolished by Arkansas, and then they got shellacked by Texas Tech this week. UTEP doesn't look good. I think that's the one game. I think I predicted budding rival UTSA is coming into Apogee 0-7. They might beat UTEP because UTEP is bad. They are bad.
I think they'll have a different quarterback for when they play us.
Think so?
Well, I mean, I don't think it'll be a Leftwich. I think it'll be the 6'7" guy from the colony that we didn't offer a scholarship to. So,
I know. Like, that's the thing is that you look around the league and you see a bunch of dudes that we could have had, right? We could have had this Bogan Shoots kid right from UTSA. Everybody's talking about him. Well, he only had 156 yards passing. He's like 20 of 33, something like that.
Okay, but Kansas State defense, so.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
I bet you if we had him last night, does North Texas win?
I don't know if they win, but they probably look better on offense, maybe.
I'm going to say they win.
Dang, bold predictions.
My bold prediction is that DeMarcus Smith will play next week.
Yeah. I think a lot of people were asking, like, is it going to be same dude? Is he going to be out there? Is it going to be McNulty? Because everybody wanted to yank him after the first half. And I didn't think he played poor enough to get yanked. He just didn't play well. And then he went out there and threw that pick. And I was like,
That's the thing about McNulty, though. He's not going to play poor enough to get yanked. He's going to play just well enough to stay in there, according to McCartney standards.
Yeah, a lot of people made a good point, and they were saying, didn't you yank Dejon Williams for turning the ball over, even though he was, like, moving the ball and we're scoring points? And the answer was yes. And then, Andrew McNulty throws two picks. One, that was in garbage time, but still. The other one was third quarter. We're down a point. You know what I mean? We're playing it close to the vest. So that turnover is even more huge than if this is just we're scoring up and down the field. You know what I mean?
Right.
All right, that's it. That's it for the Vent Show, the little mini recap. Thanks for everybody that called in and the two people that we played. And thanks to Greg for getting up early, even though he's going to watch his Browns lose today.
Yep. You know it. It's a great week of football for me.
I felt like it was going to be good. There were upsets a lot today. There was upsets in soccer, too. It was like Everton jumped out, beat Chelsea. I was happy about that. I was like, I feel the wins are in our favor. They weren't in our favor. Womp. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, y'all have a good week. Go Mean Green.